afternoon, and welcome to Shooting from the Hip. This is Mark Avery. I'm here from Sim Trainer, which is the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're glad to have you join us today. If you'd like to be part of the show, you can get in the queue by calling 457-1290. That's the number here into the studio, 457-1290. We'll get you up on the board, and we will get you involved in this program as well. Shooting from the Hip is a show about firearms and firearms-related issues. We talk about concealed carry and firearms laws. Maybe how do you go about selecting a firearm for your own? How's the best way to do that? Where do you get training? And obviously, we think Sim Trainer is the best place to do that, but we'll talk a little bit more about that and some of the options available. We had a First Shots class there this morning, which is always a lot of fun. And if you are just completely new to the shooting sports and you'd like to get some information about that, you can also call the range at 293-3914. That's area code 293-3914, and we'll get you some information that you need. You can also find out more about us at Sim Trainer's website, sim-trainer.com. That's where we have a list of all our classes. So if you are looking to get into something, you would like a concealed carry class. We have one actually next weekend. There's still a few slots left in that, so it's not too late to get in. Often those classes fill as much as a month in advance or more. And so this is a great opportunity if you've been looking towards getting a license to carry concealed handgun. It's still an opportunity for you to do that this month to get through the class and find out the information that you need and get the certificate that you need in order to file with your application. We'd love to have you do that. And again, you can call the range to reserve a slot at 293-3914. We have other classes available as well. We have the basic handgun class, I think, is now full for the 21st. There might be one slot left in that. And if the next class would be in August on the 18th. So if you're interested in that, you'd be able to do that. Our next First Shots class is on August 4th from 4 to 7 p.m. That's the first Saturday in August. We try to have a class the first Saturday of every month. The first Saturday in August is the 4th, and there are still some slots. In fact, that class is pretty much open. So if you'd like to sign up for that class, you're able to do that. We'll also have a class on the 16th, which is a Thursday night in August as well, from 6 to 9 p.m. If you are looking to find out about what is this gun thing all about and how do I handle a firearm safely, what are the basic fundamentals of placing an accurate shot, that's a great way to get started. We've had people who have had maybe some firearms experience before but not handgun experience come take that class. We've also had people who've had absolutely no experience and maybe a little bit concerned or a little bit scared about handling a firearm, a little nervous the first time through. That's fine. We always have plenty of staff in the range, and we will help you work through those issues. It's a great class. It's a lot of fun. Everybody comes out of there with smiles on their face for the most part. And if it's not for you and you find out that that's not something you want to do, that's okay too. But it really is a great way to get started and to learn the fundamentals way before you purchase a firearm. I can't encourage you strongly enough to do it that way, to find out a little bit about learning to handle the firearms and how to identify what works for you. Part of the way we do that is with our basic handgun class. So if you are looking to purchase a firearm for self-defense, that is a great way to find out what gun works for you, is the basic handgun class. We also have a try it before you buy it program. And so if you're looking to purchase a gun and you've maybe narrowed your selection down to one or two different handguns that you'd, before you buy it, you really would like to try it. And I cannot encourage you highly enough, strongly enough to be able to do that, because you really don't know if you're going to like a gun until you've had a chance to shoot it. You can tell pretty readily if you don't like a gun just by holding it in your hand. But until you've had a chance to see how that gun shoots, see how it feels in your hand when you shoot it, see what the recoil feels like, and to see just the basic operation of that gun, making sure that you can do everything that you need to do with it, that's by far the best way to identify the gun that's really right for you. And again, we do that with the basic handgun class, but we also have that Try It Before You Buy It program, which is only $10 plus the rental of the, for the rental of the gun, plus you'll need a box of ammo. Usually comes out about $25, $26, something like that. Great way to find out if the handgun that you're considering is really the one for you. It's much better to do that than to plunk down the hundreds or sometimes even thousands of dollars for the handgun and then find out that you don't like it after you've shot it, and now it's a used gun, and you're not going to get anywhere near as much for it as you would if you had just waited, buy the gun after you've had a chance to try one. So we don't have every gun that's out there, but we do have quite a few. And sometimes we'll have something that's similar to what you're looking for if we don't have the exact model. But we can work those details out and help you find that gun that's working just right for you. It's been hot outside, in case you hadn't noticed, and that sometimes affects some things about carry. Sometimes people are a little bit less comfortable wearing the extra clothes they think might be necessary for concealed carry. That is just kind of the price of being prepared. But there are some things that you can do to help to reduce that amount of at least weight and the warmth of those clothes. There's some great ways to do that as well. Sometimes holster selection affects that. You just need to be able to be prepared for that. We do recommend that you not leave a lot of ammunition in the vehicle. Not that it's going to go off, but when you are subjecting it to high heat and then it cools off, that really puts some wear on it. It causes the condensation to occur inside the ammunition, and it causes it to degrade more quickly. So that's just one of those things. If rather than storing extra boxes of ammunition or lots of loaded magazines in the motor vehicle, just leave those at home and then take the ones with you that you need. Let's go right out to the phones, and we'll talk to Steve, who's calling from Sydney. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. My question is it legal to carry a loaded firearm in my car in an unlocked glove box and I have a carry concealed permit?
If you have a license to carry concealed handgun and you're talking about a handgun that you're carrying, yes, you can carry that handgun in any way that you choose. We make a point of saying that it ought to be in any safe way. So you want to make sure that wherever it is, it couldn't accidentally be activated by other things in the area. You definitely want it to be secured in a way that if you need it, it's going to be exactly where you left it. So just dropping the gun by itself in a glove box, it's not really recommended, but it's not a legal question. From a legal question, yes, you can have the handgun loaded. You can have it in the vehicle any way that you choose, and we just encourage people to be safe.
Okay. My question, I guess, was, like, did the law just change? Because I thought before it had to be in a locked box or a locked glove box. Is that different now, correct?
That is correct. Okay. The law went, the change went into effect on the 30th of September of last year of 2011. And what that law did was delete that entire section of the Ohio Revised Code that specified the methods for carry in a motor vehicle for a loaded handgun when you have a license to carry concealed handgun that's recognized in Ohio.
Well, thank you very much.
As you were probably taught in your class, there were four ways that were legal. You had to have it in a holster on your person or in a glove box or console. And if you're talking about a locked glove box, then maybe that was even the change before that. But until September of 2011, you were able to have it in an unlocked glove box as long as it was closed or a vehicle console. And those were among the ways that you could carry. Now, and again, that is no longer the case. So any safe way is legal in your motor vehicle. Now, it is important to note that the change that affected concealed handguns and handguns carried pursuant to a license did not change unloaded carry. So what is legal for you to do with a loaded handgun when you have a license to carry concealed handgun is not legal with an unloaded handgun. It must be, there's still only four ways that you can carry an unloaded firearm in your motor vehicle. And that is, it's got to be either in a case that closes with a zipper snap lid buckle of some sort. It could be in a compartment that cannot be reached from inside the vehicle. And unfortunately, most motor vehicles, most automobiles anyway, these days don't have one of those because you pull down the back seat and get into the trunk. So that doesn't qualify. And if you have a van or an SUV of some sort, it probably doesn't have a compartment like that. So that would only apply to an older style trunk that actually closes and locks only from the outside and you can't get into it from inside the vehicle. You could also have it in a rack that's designed for that purpose, and that typically applies in, and that has to be in plain sight. That's talking typically about a long gun, so, you know, a shotgun rack or a rifle rack in the back of the vehicle. And then also it could be if it's if it meets certain length requirements, at least an 18-inch barrel, at least 24 inches overall length, then it could be stripped and open and in plain sight, or if it can't be stripped, at least open to the extent that it can be. And so those four requirements still apply for unloaded handguns or rifles, any kind of a firearm. But if you're carrying pursuant to your license, which is loaded, then you can have it in pretty much any way you choose.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks very much for calling the show. Let's go out and talk to Tom, who's calling from Dayton. Tom, welcome to the show.
Yes. Thank you, Mark. About 8 years ago, I was over at Wendy's here near the Oregon District, and I talked with a man that that was living on the southeast side of Dayton, and he was a homeowner or home renter, and an individual was harassing him numerous times, and the police knew about it. And then one night, the individual broke into the man's house, and the homeowner killed him. And the homeowner went to prison for 5 years, Mark. So I don't know all the circumstances, but I'll try and get him to call you. Maybe you could interview him.
Okay, that would be fine, because clearly there must have been some circumstances that when that occurred would also have an effect because of the changes in the law with the Castle Doctrine in terms of who has to prove what, where kinds of things. But quite frankly, if you defend yourself in your home now, it's up to the prosecutor to prove that it was not a situation that was justified self-defense. So we'd be more than happy to talk about it if he's if he's free to do that. If the case hasn't been completely resolved, he might not want to give enough details. But that's just, you know, that's one of those things that without a lot more detail, it's really hard to say much definitively about it.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks very much for calling the show. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I do appreciate you calling in. If you'd like to be part of the show, you can call the studio at 457-1290. 457-1290 is the number here into the studio, and we'll be more than happy to take your call as well. There's one person on the phone, and that means there's three open lines, so this would be a great time to get in. And I'm not going to, Ed, we'll get back to you right after the break, because we are going to need to take our first break for the hour here in just a few seconds. So this would be a great time to get in. Call the studio at 457-1290 if you'd like to be on the show. And we'll be back after this break here on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip. Glad to have you joining us today. And let's go right back out to the phones, and we'll talk to Ed calling from Medway. Ed, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark. Last week, one of your callers asked about carrying a concealed carry weapon in a rest area, and you correctly answered that it was because it was government-controlled. But as you know, there's a lot of privatizing talk going around in Columbus to privatize the rest areas as well as one of our interstates, and even some of the cities, I think, are talking about privatizing their parks and stuff. I haven't heard anybody label a concern that this is going to be a problem, that they're going to, if it's privatized, we may not be able to carry a concealed carry weapon in that area. Is that true?
That's an interesting question. We'll have to do some research on that.
I haven't heard anything. That's what bothers me.
Okay. It would depend a little bit on whether the actual property was transferred to the private entity or if it's just private management.
Those are legal. I'm a retired engineer, and the legal part I'm not sure about. But there are different ways of, they're talking about leasing and they're talking about selling. And I don't know what the parameters of that particular contract would look like. I don't expect you to have an answer, but I just wanted to, like, it's a question that bothered me after I heard your show last week, that somebody ought to be thinking about what does that do to our concealed carry permits.
Okay, and I really appreciate you bringing that to my attention, because I wasn't aware that they were talking about privatizing the operations of certainly rest areas.
Yeah, rest areas for sure, and they're trying to make money any way they can, which is, I understand. But somewhere, if there is going to be that, there's somebody in our side should be ensuring that we can still carry where we were before.
I think that's an excellent point, and I've made a note of that, and I will start doing some checking and see what we can find out about that. And if it's, it may be something that we actually have to address through the legislature, because it may fall into one of those kind of gray zones where it actually becomes private property, but it's private property which is a public use private property that used to be owned by the state, and there's an awful lot of possibilities of ways that they could implement that, and that really does make the huge difference. So until we find out exactly how they plan to do that, it's going to be a little bit difficult, but it's certainly something that we should try to get in front of and look at the implications before the decisions get made that make those changes.
Yes, that's the time to make the change, and I appreciate your interest.
Thanks very much for calling the show.
Bye.
Bye. Let's go out and talk to Greg, who's calling from Huber Heights. Greg, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks. How can I help you?
Yeah, Mark, I have a question about a Glock Model 19.
Okay.
I was looking at that for maybe my concealed weapon, as I haven't taken the class yet.
Okay.
So I was wondering about your opinion. And by the way, Mark, you know who this is.
I do, yeah. It's good to hear from you.
It's good to hear from you, too, sir.
It's the Glock 19 is a great gun. It was probably the most popular concealed carry handgun for a long time. It's the kind of the mid-sized Glock. The 17 is the full size. The 19 is the mid-sized gun in 9mm, which Glock calls the compact. And then the subcompact would be the 26. So if it fits your hand, if that works for you in that sense, then it's a great gun. It is very reliable, and it's easy to get support for it. So if you wanted to have anything done to it in a particular way, I think in your case it's probably going to be fine just the way it is right out of the box. So it's a great gun, and as long as it fits and it works for you, then that's the best deal. I would strongly recommend that you actually shoot it before you make a decision on purchase.
And another question I had. Is
okay.
That one that you have at your facility?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So maybe I can get there sometime and try it out.
Okay. I'd be more than happy to do that and work that with you and work through some of the things that you'll need to do in order to make that work well.
Okay. Now, the second question.
Hang on just a minute, Greg, okay. Because what we got to do is take a break here for the news at the bottom of the hour, and we'll get back to you after the news. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Now back to Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Thank you very much, Daryl. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip, and we are glad that you've joined us today. I kind of hope you're hiding inside someplace, but maybe you are out at the Dayton Veteran Air Show and you are trying to stay cool a little bit, maybe able to listen to the radio, and we're glad to have you join us as well. Sim Trainer sponsors this show, and we're glad to be able to do that. If you're interested in finding out more information about the show, and maybe this is the first time you've had a chance to listen to us, you can find the previous shows and some of the other topics we've talked about at sim-trainer.com/radio. That's also where you'll find our Shooting from the Hip fan page link, so you can click on there and find out some of the other things and maybe communicate with some of our listeners. If you like to listen offline, you can subscribe to our podcast. There's a link there as well for the Shooting from the Hip podcast, and we'd be glad to have you, one of our listeners from maybe outside the area or maybe not available during our regular hours from 2 to 3 on Saturday. Before we took a break, we were talking with Greg in Huber Heights, and let's bring Greg back on. Welcome back to the show. We had another question.
Yeah. I had heard rumors regarding the change in the law. And the person who told me this wasn't very sure, so I thought I'd ask you. This
okay.
is regarding concealed carry and persons with disabilities. So if you could speak a little about that, I'll appreciate it, and then I'll hang up and let somebody else have at you on the phone.
Okay. There actually weren't any changes regarding carry with persons with disabilities. There, as long as you can be safe, there are no restrictions on that. So, there's not any requirement to be able to pass any kind of a test, hearing test, eye test, or anything related to that. It's just a matter of you need to be safe. And so as long as you can pass the qualification course of fire, then and that's something that would be done by the instructors that would be conducting that class, that you can get that qualification, then you can certainly carry a firearm for personal defense. So there are no, I mean, we have many people that have come with various handicaps that have either they're in a wheelchair or they have some other kind of problem that makes them less able to defend themselves physically. And frankly, that's the best reason I can think of to use a firearm, because of the force multiplier that it provides, the advantage that it provides, that basically keeps you from having to be a victim simply because somebody thinks you look like an easy target.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mark.
Thanks very much for calling the show. Let's go out and talk to Lynn. Welcome. I know you've been out driving, so I hope you're still with us. Welcome to the show.
Okay. I had a question in three different scenarios. I know a person, one's a substitute teacher, another sells textbooks to schools, and another actually is a counselor that travels to schools. And in the scenario, they're carrying a firearm. I know there's a law that states that they shouldn't drive it on the property. Is there also a distance requirement also from a school?
As long as you're on a public street or on private property, it's not an issue. So if in other words, in that case, they would need to park in a public street or a public parking lot someplace, and then walk to the school property. Sometimes that's going to be a fairly significant inconvenience because of the way the schools are set up. There may not be street on street parking anywhere close by. So that would be a challenge. But as far as the distance from the school, the 1,000-foot zone that is sometimes talked about for the Gun-Free Schools Act, that doesn't apply on the public streets and public sidewalks.
Okay.
So that's explicitly excluded. So then,
if they're going to if they're selling textbooks or something, they don't have to park four blocks away from the school and walk.
No, as long as there's a place they can park safely that's on the public street, or even across the street, if there's a parking some place that they can legally park across the street, then that would be fine. You don't have to be half a mile away. You just need to be not on the school property.
Okay.
And that's for K-12 school. If it's a college or university, then they would be able to park on the property but lock the gun in the vehicle.
Oh, okay. So if it's post-secondary,
that's correct.
They can actually drive right into the parking lot and then just leave the weapon there.
It needs to be locked inside the vehicle. That's right, inside a locked vehicle.
Okay. Thank you for the info.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling the show. Let's go out and talk to Don, who's calling from Centerville. Don, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Question I got is the United Nations treaty that they're talking about signing. I thought that something was said that Congress would have to approve it before it would become law in the U.S. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true for any treaty. The treaties have to be ratified by the Senate before they have a it's not a matter of becoming law, but before they before the United States is bound by that treaty, the Senate needs to ratify that treaty.
What is your feeling that will they ratify it or will they throw it out?
Oh, I don't think that this Senate would ratify it. The reason I say that is because there is a significant pro-gun majority in actually both chambers of the U.S. legislature. Both the House and the Senate have strong pro-gun majorities. And so anything that would come up like this that might get approved through the U.N. would certainly fall on deaf ears when it hit the Senate. Now, even the majority leader, Harry Reid, has been a pretty strong supporter of the right to keep and bear arms. So I doubt seriously that it would even get a hearing, much less to be ratified, if for some reason it did, in fact, get through the State Department. And I know a lot of people believe that the State Department might not be the most pro-gun activity in the U.S. government, and I certainly understand where that particular opinion comes from. But even Hillary Clinton has said pretty clearly that if there is just simply no way that anything that goes through that would violate the U.S. citizens' right to keep and bear arms under the Second Amendment would ever get signed by the U.S. So I think that really, you know, it speaks well to the fact that the Constitution really is what the Constitution says. And as having been backed up by the last two decisions in the Supreme Court regarding the Second Amendment, the Heller case a couple of, or about 3 years ago, and the McDonald case a year ago that applied the right to keep and bear arms to the states through the 14th Amendment. So I think that the chances of there being anything related to personal firearms, the individual right to keep and bear arms, in fact, she has said, well, in her letter to the UN detailed in part, let me just quote a little bit. The U.S. must not accept an ATT that infringes on our constitutional rights, particularly the fundamental individual right to keep and bear arms that is protected by the Second Amendment, as well as the right of personal self-defense on which the Second Amendment is based. Accordingly, the ATT should not cover small arms, light weapons, or related material, such as firearms and ammunition. Further, the ATT should expressly recognize the individual right of personal self-defense, as well as the legitimacy of hunting, sports shooting, and other lawful activities pertaining to the private ownership of firearms and related materials. So I think that's a pretty strong statement. That's the ATT is the Arms Trade Treaty. So that's the acronym that they're using for that. All in all, I think that the chances of it getting through with anything that would be a concern to those of us in the Second Amendment and gun rights community, I think is pretty slim.
Well, I sure hope so, because I know Hillary, it seemed as though she was kind of trying to push this thing through or whatever, you know, because I thought she was against carrying firearms.
Well, you know, that may be her history and her and some of her background, but when, especially with the two last decisions through the Supreme Court that I already mentioned, I think that, you know, people are beginning to see that all of those twists and turns that people have tried to take the Second Amendment through as a way to restrict the private ownership of firearms simply don't wash through the Constitution. And as a result, I think it looks, at least, I mean, you can make your own call based on the text of that letter, but that's a pretty strong support in from everything I can tell in reading the words, just the way they're worded. That's pretty strong support for the Second Amendment in the UN from the State Department.
You don't think Obama would try any of this executive privilege stuff, do you?
Well, I don't, you know, I have long since...
He's pulled so much stern stuff anymore, and everybody's afraid to stand up to him.
Well, I have long since tried to second-guess what might happen coming out of the White House. You know, there's no way I can call that, but what I will tell you is that he's not going to be able to do anything other than make regulation and through administrative changes. He's not going to be able to create a law. He's not going to be able to enforce a law. He certainly has already proved that he is able to not enforce laws. But, you know, frankly, the fewer gun laws that are enforced, in my opinion, that would get us closer to the Second Amendment, not farther away from it. So, yes, I certainly think that's something that we should watch. I think it's something that bears careful scrutiny. If you're not a member of the National Rifle Association, and that I strongly recommend doing that, because they are by far the strongest voice on Capitol Hill with respect to supporting the right to keep and bear arms. If for anybody who's not a member and is saying, you know, maybe it's time for me to do that, you can go to our website at sim-trainer.com. And at the bottom of the page, there is a join NRA link, which will also give you a $10 discount off of the normal $35 annual membership fee. I strongly recommend people doing that. I think that's a great way to work to defend the right to keep and bear arms. Don, thanks very much for calling the show. And let's quickly go out to Doug, who's calling from Dayton. Doug, welcome to the show.
Yes, I just had a quick question, Mark. I had just moved. How long do I have to get my address changed on my permit?
They won't probably actually change it on the card that you have, the license itself, but you have 45 days to contact the sheriff in the sheriff that issued your license. So
can I call him?
Yes, you can call them. I would call them and find out what procedures they want. You probably have to submit that change in writing, but there may be a way for you to do that through email or through the fax. But the procedures would be specific to that sheriff. So wherever it was you moved from, that sheriff is your sheriff until the license expires and you get it renewed, and that's where you need to provide that notice.
Okay.
Did you change counties when you moved, or are you still living in the same county or an adjacent county?
Same county.
Same county. All right. Well, that makes it a lot easier. Because, you know, you obviously won't have to worry about changing sheriffs. And if you just provide that sheriff with a notice to make sure that they have your current address, that way if there's something that happens and they need to get notice to you, they have the correct address. If they don't have the correct address and you missed a notice as a result, that's your responsibility, not theirs. Doug, thanks very much for calling the show. We need to take our last break for the hour. So if you'd like to be part of the show, call the studio at 457-1290 and we'll get you up on the board. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
America, this is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip. We're glad to have you with us. If you'd like to get in real quickly before the end of the hour, you can call the studio at 457-1290. 457-1290 will get you up on the board, and if we don't run out of time here, we'll get you in on the show. I would like to make at least one announcement and let you know about something that's going on here in Ohio. It's an annual event. It's something that is actually a fairly big deal. It's the National Championships up at Camp Perry. That's in Port Clinton, Ohio. It's up near the northern coast. And this is conducted each year by the National Rifle Association and the Civilian Marksmanship Program. The Ohio National Guard is actually the folks who are in charge of that area. These matches often referred to as the World Series of Shooting Sports. It is a fairly significant, this is the kind of the pinnacle of competition for rifle and handgun. First shot ceremony is at July 9th, which is just a couple of days away. It's going to be on Monday. And I have wanted to get up there many times. I'm not going to make it this year for the first shot ceremony, but it's a very interesting place to go. If you are in the shooting sports, if you are interested in any way about trying to improve the way you fire either a handgun or a rifle, they have classes up there. If you are a member of a CMP-affiliated club or retired military, you can also go to the armory there, and you can find maybe an M1 Garand or some of the other firearms that they have available. And it will give you an opportunity to pick up one of these classic firearms and add it to your own inventory. The National Pistol Championships start on July 10th, and then the following week on the 18th, is when the Small Bore Rifle Position Championships, followed by the National Small Bore Rifle Prone Championships. And then in August will be the Springfield M1A match, the National High Power Rifle Championships, and the whole thing wraps up on the 15th with the end of the NRA Long Range Championships. And that's where they're talking about distances from 300 to 1,000 meters. And it's quite an interesting event to go watch, and certainly it's a great way for people to practice their long distance riflery, to become once again a nation of riflemen, to learn the basic fundamentals of placing an accurate shot on a target at a distance out to several hundred yards. And if you're not interested in doing that yourself, it's open to all competition. You don't have to be anything. You don't have to be part of anything in particular to do that, I think, other than possibly to be a member of the National Rifle Association. But you can go up there and just watch and get some interesting views of the things that go on in that rifle competition. To talking about long-distance targets out there, almost as far as you can see by the time you're looking through iron sights on a target like that, it's just barely a dot right above the front sight of the rifle. And it's a great way to see a little bit about heritage, and some of the military competes out there as well. A lot of times the different military branches will send folks from their marksmanship units to go up there and compete. And it's a great way to just see what's going on in the shooting sports. It's one of the things that I have, like I said before, I've wanted to do that, and it's just probably not going to happen this year. But if you have a chance to get up there, I can't encourage you more strongly to get up there and take a chance and take an opportunity to just see some of the things that are going on. There's a lot of vendors that'll be up there. So if you have something that you're looking for in particular, you may be able to find that up there. Sometimes there's new products that are available that you won't have even heard of before. And by the time you get up there and you start to see some of those, that may be something that's just exactly what you were looking for, wondering, you know, how do I solve this particular problem, or what can I do to make to accommodate this deficiency that I've gotten as my eyes get older, or as I no longer have the same flexibility that I once had. So there are plenty of opportunities to see new products, to talk with the shooters, to talk with some of the celebrities. There will be a lot of people up there who come up to that and participate in it from the shooting sports and also from other areas as well. So I would encourage you to do that if you get a chance. Thanks very much for being part of the show. I've had a good time today. Thanks so much for all the great calls today. If you'd like to catch our information, you can do that on our website at sim-trainer.com. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio, WHIO.